Hey friends, welcome to The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. I'm your host, Andrea Fortenberry. This is a podcast about finding freedom from perfectionism to show up for the life God has for you. Mom life is messy, unpredictable, and just plain hard sometimes, but it's also amazing. I believe God uses it all to grow us into the women He wants us to be. We can't do motherhood on our own. We need God's help. We need wisdom from other moms. We need the encouragement of community. I hope you'll find all of that and more as you listen in. Welcome to episode 85 of The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. I'm so excited for our conversation today. I'm chatting with my very funny friend, Noelle Rhodes. Noelle is now a three-time guest here on the podcast. I will be sure to link the previous two episodes for you in the show notes. It's episode 28 and episode 65. Today, we're talking all about being sports moms. So Noelle and I have shared some funny conversations over the past couple of years while our kids are at practice. We record messages and send them back and forth to each other. And we have just said, we need to chat about being sports moms and share with listeners. Both of us have kiddos who are in junior high or high school. And so that's where we're coming from in this episode. But my encouragement to you, if you have little kids who are in sports, is sports are a great activity for your kids. They learn so many things, but I just want to caution you to not get too overcommitted when they are really young. Let them try one thing at a time so your schedule's not crazy. If you have multiple kids, one activity per child does still add up to a lot going on in your schedule. So that's my encouragement to you, is whatever your kids are involved in, also balance that with some downtime for you and for them, because it's really good for them to also have time to recuperate and refresh and find other things to do that they are interested in as well at home, like reading or playing games with their siblings or whatever that could look like for your family. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. It is short and sweet today because Noelle and I are both full-time working moms. We had a time picked and then I had something come up, and so we had just a very short window to record this episode, but I hope you will find it helpful if you are a sports mom, or again, if you aren't right now, you may be in the future. So we hope you enjoy our advice and our conversation today. Noelle, welcome back to the podcast. I am so glad to have you.
Well, I love this podcast, so it's an honor to be on the show again.
Thank you, friend. Well, today we are here to talk about all about being a sports mom. So For the past couple of years, you and I giggle, we send Voxer messages back and forth while we're waiting at our kids' sport practices. And we have said, we need to talk about this on the podcast, because there's just a special something about figuring out how to be a sports mom.
Oh yes, there's many times where I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting for somebody and I'm like, I'm just gonna Vox my good friend Andrea.
Yes.
And typically you're at some point doing the same to me, so it's great.
Yes,
it's good to have that for connection.
Sure. Well, how would you describe being a sports mom? What's it like in
your
experience?
Oh my gosh, it's very different than what I, you know. Well, here's the thing. I did not play sports growing up. I mean, we tried, but I was not a sports kid. I think I played softball one summer. I think I tried basketball like one time, but I just was not, I'm not athletic. So I was a theater kid and I did all the musicals and I did, like, you know, acting classes and voice classes and dance classes. And so to have children that play sports is very foreign to me. And to this day, I still call their practices rehearsals. I call their uniforms, I nearly blanked out, their uniforms sports costumes. And I call their positions roles, because I just don't know this world that they live in. But it's just like so different than what I'm used to. But just a little background, the sports my kids play. So my oldest does boxing, which is terrifying to watch. And then my other one does tackle rugby, which is equally terrifying to watch. So for me to even watch them do their thing, I it's like I gotta take, you know, an Ambien or something, because it's so terrifying to watch them, you know, beat up other people, and they call it sport.
Right.
So, and they're two sports that I don't really know anything about. Like, it's not like baseball or soccer. It's like, I don't know how you get points for boxing. I don't know, like, I know nothing about rugby. So it's like, I'm the sports mom that never knows what's going on and is just like standing there, you know, completely clueless and also terrified that my kid's gonna have a concussion. So I don't think I'm a good sports mom, is what I'm trying to say. I think I'm failing miserably.
Well, and I came in my experience of being a sports mom is I did play sports. I played soccer in junior high and high school, but my kids play different sports. My daughter has done gymnastics. She's done swimming. She's done volleyball. My son is doing tackle football. So they're not sports that I personally experienced. And even with volleyball to this day, I'm like, I still don't understand all the rotations, but I will cheer and scream at all the times that I think are appropriate. But yeah, it's a learning curve to figure these things out. And it's also really cool to watch your kids just experience something that's their own, that's not because we did it, that they feel like they have to do it. I would say that's just been a cool thing for me to watch.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, as much as I would have loved someone to want to go see a musical, you know, Broadway show with me, it's been fun to watch them own their own stuff and watch them have a passion. You know, it's cool. Very cool.
Yeah. What lessons do you think your kids have learned or that they are learning through being in sports?
Okay. I think, well, my kids are 16 and 14. Actually, they're both about to be 17 and 15. So I want to just say that to anyone who's listening. I don't want them to think that like my 8-year-old has learned these things, because they haven't. This took a while. And I think sports has helped them, but time management. Because when you have to juggle your academic responsibilities with your sports responsibilities, that's a thing, you know? And to some degree, I kind of understood this because I did a lot of theater, but it's a different kind of, even like physically, they have to manage themselves. You know, I remember recently, well, maybe actually a couple months ago, you know, I have a teenage daughter and she was at a party, like a birthday party. And we have this thing where like, if you're ever at a party and something's going on that's making you feel uncomfortable, like drinking, drugs, God forbid, whatever, just call us and no questions asked, we'll come get you. And she called me and said, could you come get me from this party? And I was like, yep, of course. I'm driving there with like a lump in my throat. I'm like, what am I going to come across? I call her, say, okay, here, I'm outside the house, you know, come out, you know, I'll take you home. She comes out of the house and she's like skipping out laughing. And I'm like, what the heck? And she gets in the car and I'm like, what was it? Like, you know, somebody's selling drugs. What's going on? She's like, what? And I'm like, why did you want me to pick you up from this party? It was like 8 o'clock at night. It was very early. Yeah. And she's like, Ma, I got rugby tomorrow. I got to be fresh for the tournament. And I was like, okay. Like, she's learning that, yes, she can have a good time with her friends, but she's got to go to bed before everybody else if she wants to be a good player the next day. And I was very impressed, because I'm still not that person. Like, I'm not good at making those choices, but she's learning like the sacrifices you have to make in order to excel at something that you're really excited about. So time management and managing where you spend your energy, you know, and how that affects your performance. I think they definitely learned that. They've also learned team building and having a respect for an authority like a coach and all that stuff. But I think sports is played at a level that I did not understand existed when I don't even know if it really did exist back in the 90s, to be honest with you. Now there's a lot more pressure. I don't know if it's even okay to say that, but I do feel like kids are like, okay, like, I'm gonna get a scholarship if I do well. I mean, of course, I was hanging out with the theater kids, but like, I don't remember even cousins who are really into sports going, oh, I gotta like go to these things and there's gonna be scouts. I don't remember that being even a conversation back then, but now there is that awareness. So even learning to manage that kind of pressure and, you know, making sure your identity doesn't get caught up in what you do. I mean, it's really hard, but they're learning it, you know, and it's wild to watch.
Absolutely. I think there is this pressure for the kids that if they want to join something like in middle school that they've not done before, that they feel behind because there are parents who are like grooming their kids from a very young age. And my kids are similar age to you, 15 and 12. And so we've tried to talk to them about sports is something that helps you move your body, helps you, you know, be healthy. Yeah. And then it should be fun and enjoyable. Like that's the goal of sports. And maybe it'd be different if, I don't know, we saw that they had like crazy talent that they could, you know, we believed like scholarship for sports is their path. And I think it is for some kids, but for most kids, it's not. And so teaching them like sports is to be enjoyable. It's for recreation. It's not to have all this pressure on you. Yes, we want you to do your best and excel and put your heart into it. But at the end of the day, we don't love you because of how you perform or don't perform. Yeah. We love who you're becoming through the experience.
I love that you said that. I think it's so important. And I think as parents, you have to be able to discern to what sports means to your kid. I've got one kid who has always been athletic. And is like, they've got their eye on the prize. Like they want to be in the Olympics. Like, and we have done nothing to encourage this. If anything, we've done everything to discourage it, but this is what they want to do. And then the other one, they just do sports because it's like, they get to hang with people and they love, like, they're not trying to win. They're just like, you know, I get to see my friends and, you know, moving my body a little bit. I can do a little cardio, but, and to be able to celebrate both, and see that they're both valuable, that perspective on the sport, so that I'm, you know, because I don't want to put any pressure on my kids to make sports their life, you know. I probably wouldn't because it's not my thing, but to be able to encourage them where they're at and how they want to use it, it takes a lot of wisdom and discernment, and to help them protect that too, because there's pressure from other peers.
Right.
You know
or
what I mean?
Coaches or, the comparison game, like you're saying with their friends, this friend is way better, all of that.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I see that a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think another lesson that I've seen my kids learn, or just being in soccer growing up as well, is you learn a lot through defeat and through, when you're not winning. Like, it's super fun to be on a team that's winning, but I don't think you learn quite as much. You don't learn the perseverance, or I think you also get to learn some leadership and really just, how to persevere through something hard is an important lesson that I think kids learn through sports.
How to lose well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, or another thing too, is when you get kids going into junior high or high school and they try out for sports and they don't make the team. And as a parent walking alongside them to encourage them through it, that again, reminding them that we don't love you any differently because you didn't make the team. We love that you tried. We love that you gave it your all. And now what are the opportunities that you can take on the other side of this because you're not on the team?
Yeah, I like that. I like that, painting a picture of what could be because this one thing did not pan out the way you wanted it to. I think that's so important because not everyone's going to make the team, you know, and it doesn't mean that you're a terrible athlete. It just means you didn't make the cut. And I like that. I think that we, as parents, we need to do that, is like be able to help them see beyond this one thing, you know, and guide them through that. That's really good.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that applies to anything. Like some kids are like super academic, or again, you were talking about like being a theater kid or other things that, you know, you try out for parts or you try out for the symphony or whatever that looks like, and you don't make it. Then what happens with your life from that point on?
Yeah.
So I think it applies to so many scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, friend, let's talk practical tips, strategies, solutions that you have for being a sports mom.
Yeah. So just to kind of describe my season, is I am a sports mom with two teenagers who they're got different levels of seriousness about their sport. One's very serious and one's just like, whatever, you know, but I also work full time. So I think it's important to say, because that's kind of, it's kind of a little, I would say it's cuckoo right now, because they both do play their sports and one is traveling quite a bit. So a tip that I've learned the hard way, so I hope nobody makes this mistake, is I just, when it comes to the sports schedule, especially if multiple kids playing sports, what I do is I put everybody's everything on everyone's calendar through the Google app. Yep. So it doesn't matter. Like, they have each other's practices. They have each other's tournaments and whatever they're doing. Everything goes on there. And then what I do in the little notes is I say who's picking them up and who's dropping them off. And if that's to be determined, I put that in there too. Because the more eyes that are on what is happening, the easier it is for me. Because one of my kids will say, hey, Ma, like, I got practice tonight. And it says to be determined who's picking me up. Like, have you thought? And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I forgot to even like solve that issue. Right. So it's good, because it's really, it's got a lot of eyes on it. And it's good for my husband, because he's really very, I have to give him a shout out. He's really involved in this piece of driving people to and from their, I was going to say rehearsal practices, their practices. Cause yeah. I work in New York City and I live in Jersey. So I'm like, I'm not right next door. Let's put it that way. Yeah. You know, I got to take the bus to get back. So having all those eyes is really great. And then what we do as if, and I don't do this perfectly. I don't want anyone to think that I'm like the saint of sports motherhood. It's not. I at the beginning of the week, I say, okay, this is happening. This is happening. Like, you got these practices. This person's got a tournament. We got to buy pretzels for that. Like, you know, and we just review it as a team, as a family. And this way it's not just in my mind alone. And I think, I wish I started this journey even when they were a little bit younger. And getting them into the practice of just looking at the calendar, you know, they're old enough now where they have phones, they have apps. So that's why we do the Google app, yeah. But they didn't get their phones until like 7th and 8th grade. They were a little bit older. So I would even say, I wish I had like the wisdom to be like, when they were in 3rd grade, go, okay, check the calendar. What right. practices do you have? Did you sign up to bring orange slices? You know, put right. that on the shop, involving them in that piece. You know, because I felt like I became their chauffeur and like they were the star athlete and I was like yeah. bringing them around, but they had to own this too. And now that they own it more, it's just, it's like they're sharing the responsibility fully of what their sports, how their sports affects our family life.
Yeah.
And it's not so much entitlement, if that makes sense.
No, I love that. I think it's so easy for us to center our families around the kids, but really, is that the healthiest thing for them to think mm-mm. that it all revolves around them? So I love what you're saying about getting them involved to know, or since our kids are older, occasionally there's a time where I can't run someone to practice or pick up, or we're kind of in a pickle. And I'm like, yeah. okay, kiddo, who on your team, whose mom can you ask yes. to give you a ride home? So giving them some stake in the game. One other thing that I've done is it's probably like 4th, 5th grade. I made my kids start doing their own laundry.
Yeah.
And this has helped with yep. sports, because when they need a jersey or shorts or sports bra yes. or whatever it is, it's on them. It's not on me. And I don't get yes. blamed. Mom, you didn't wash my whatever. It's on them to do it. So sometimes that means they have a game at noon and their jersey's in the dryer at 11:30 and we're waiting to go, but that's not on me. It's on them. So teaching them.
I do the same thing. This is good. I can tell my kids. I know somebody else who does it. It's true. I do the same. Start that young. That's good. I like that.
I saw this. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go. You go.
I was just going to say, I saw this funny meme the other day about it's fall sports season. That means we either eat at 4 o'clock or we yes. eat at 9. So I was going to ask, what does that look like for you guys?
I was going to say, okay, yeah. So we do, I think we abuse our Instapot probably more than we should during sports seasons. And so a lot of our meals, I have to say, this is where you have to meal prep. I don't know how anybody gets through sports season without meal prepping, because what will happen for us is we'll be going through the drive-thru if I don't, you know, if yeah. I'm not thinking ahead. Yeah. And again, shout out to my husband. He's definitely stepped into this role a lot more that I'm working full time. But we try to plan anytime we know there's going to be a late practice that that meal is already made. And all we got to do is pop it in, whatever. Like on Sundays, our family does homemade pasta because my son really loves to cook and bake. And so he makes my pasta. And so what we try to do is make a lasagna out of that pasta and then we freeze it. And that's just a given that probably on Monday when we have a late sports day, we're having lasagna. And we're not fancy about it, but it saves that stress and also helps us from not pulling a drive through somewhere and, you know, getting fast food, which is fine every once in a while. But when you got practices 4 times a week, probably not a good idea. So we do a lot of meal prep, a lot of Instapot, Crock-Pot stuff, keeping it simple and easy to clean up afterwards.
Same. Yeah. I use that slow cooker all the time, Instant Pot. And then sometimes we have sandwiches or cereal for dinner, and that's perfectly okay.
Perfectly okay. Perfectly okay. So, leftovers, whatever.
Yeah.
But don't stress yourself out trying to make something after that.
Otherwise, you're eating at 10 o'clock.
You are eating at 10 o'clock. And I do think it's kind of, you know what else I do? It's a little trick. Because my kids, I don't know about your kids, but my kids eat their lunch really early in the morning.
Yeah, like, my daughter's lunch is like 10:30.
Yes. And I'm like, that's just weird. So by the time they get back home, they're starving.
Yes.
Or they're on the way to the practice. So I try to plan that part, the little snack, like either one of them likes hummus and carrots, the other one does a little protein shake, something to hold them over. Because otherwise, by the time they're done with practice and they come home, they're not only starving, they're mean. You know what I mean? They're like, they're really grumpy. So I'm like, I think it's because they haven't eaten since 10:30 in the morning.
Right.
So I've been trying to do that. And so we've always got that like ready-made or easy things that they can themselves take the responsibility, fuel your body, and then go to practice.
Yeah, that's so wise because, my son has practice at 6 o'clock, which is normally when we would eat dinner, but he doesn't want to eat dinner right before he's out in the heat running, full pad, all that. He just doesn't want to mess with that so he doesn't get sick, which I totally get. But that means, that when he gets home, he's having like a solid mini meal, like a protein shake or something kind of heavier, and then he'll eat dinner later. So,
It's interesting learning all that stuff too,
And I would say snacks all the time, like have snacks everywhere. I carry snacks in my purse, in my car. You just never know, like you're saying, when they get out, if they're hangry and they need something right that second, you have it ready.
So, you have it ready. Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Last question for you, friend. What gear or equipment do you have or recommend that has made your sports mom life a little easier?
Oh man. Well, with boxing, it's funny, both those things. So they both have mouth guards for their sports, boxing and rugby. That's really the only gear I could think of for rugby, because rugby's no pads, nothing, just cleats.
So crazy.
Really the big issue with their gear is keeping it from not smelling so horrific.
What's your secret? I haven't
figured it out. I was going to say, if there's anybody listening and they have tips, please email Andrea, because like they're the one that does boxing. When he gets in the car, it is like, it doesn't matter how cold it is, I'm rolling down the window and I'm holding my breath. It's so bad. And I'm like, it's the boy. So it's like, it may just be the age, but one thing I have been doing with the gear with him is I'm like, leave your bag out. I make him leave outside to air it out. Oh,
that's a good idea.
And I open it up and then I air it out for a little bit, give it a fighting chance. And then I bring it in to wash whatever's in there. Cause it's like, it's another level of stink. It's bad. I put baking soda by their cleats.
That's good.
Yeah. And that helps a little bit. But other than that, Tell me the secret. Yeah,
I was going to say the one thing I use is essential oil. It's from doTERRA. It's called Purify. And I think the other brands probably have something similar. But I just drop, like if there's stinky shoes or something like that, drop some drops in there.
And that works?
It seems to help.
Okay.
So I can link that in the show notes.
Yeah, please link that. Because it's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Yeah, I mean, we kind of have a rule too that like as soon as you come in, you take a shower. I don't know if your kids do. One is good at it, the other one's like, I'll sit down, I'll like look at my stuff. And I'm like, no, for the sake of all of us, we have two showers. Take the showers.
Right.
Because it's so bad. You know? I don't know, because I know that your son plays tackle, right? Football.
Yeah.
Well, we have geese in our fields. Do you have this in Arizona?
Oh, no.
So like you have to immediately wash your body because you've been rolling around and basically goose poop for 3 hours. It's so gross.
Oh no.
It's so gross. I don't know why anybody wants to play sports. I'm like, just do the
You're inside. It's climate controlled. No sweating.
Feces anywhere. There's no, it's like you just play the part. You don't have to actually do the part. Yeah.
That's so
what do you do with your gear?
Well, for them, yeah, all those things like regular washing, the essential oil. And then the other couple of things I thought of, like as a parent, like equipment that I like to have.
Yeah.
Is a wagon. We got a wagon, a really long wagon, and I'll link it in the show notes, but it collapses. And when my son has football, we have to take a canopy because even in October, it is still blazing hot during the middle of the day.
Right.
So we take this pop-up canopy, but it's very heavy. So we have that and then like our sports camp chairs and water and all the things. So I would say that wagon has been a lifesaver because otherwise if I'm toting stuff on my neck, I just will have a tension headache for like 2 days. So this wagon has been a lifesaver.
I like that. I do carry my own first aid kit in my car, which I'm sure most parents do. But you just don't, I don't want to have to like be reliant, make sure that there's somebody there that can, you know, bandage a wound, or I have my own like pain reliever stuff, things like that. And I keep that in my car. And there's been many times where we've had to hit that up, not just for my kids, but another teammate has needed it because they haven't had whatever, like, you can get those ice pack things that you break them and they turn cold. Mm-hmm. I keep those in there just because, you know, if you're, again, it depends what kind of sport you're doing, but if you're far away from your, if you're like in a field in the middle of nowhere,
right,
and the closest CVS is a half hour, get those ice packs, break them, at least as you're driving towards wherever you need to drive,
right,
you can take care of the swelling. But again, everybody plays like my kids. So that's kind of how I think is.
Yeah.
Having
that's great
because
so many sports you can, you know, roll an ankle or whatever. Ankle,
yeah.
So having those packs in your first aid kit, super wise. That's an awesome tip.
And my husband always brings a thing of water, like those 3 gallons. He'll just get that. And that's really for us, for him and me.
Yeah.
And we just get our little, whatever, our little cup that we bring. Stanley, actually, I don't have a cool Stanley. I wish I did. But like, you know, some sort of water bottle. And we just refill with that. So it's good.
Yeah, all the water, all the snacks.
All the water, all the snacks. And it's funny, like, every sport has their own snack culture. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
It's a weird thing. Boxing, there's no snacks.
Okay.
I haven't
bring your own.
Yeah, it's just not the thing. But with rugby, it's a huge thing because it's all-day tournaments. And I mean, they barbecue. I mean, it's like wild.
Wow.
It's like a party. So you kind of have to come with like, I feel like you got to come like, it's almost like with something to share with everybody.
Gotcha.
So if we are going to rugby tournament, I try to plan like, all right, who's going to bake for mommy? Cause I'm terrible. I'm terrible baking. So we kind of try to think ahead that way.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I would say, wisdom is find a team mom, like get the culture. What do we need to bring? Get the answers to those questions because it's helpful for sure.
Yeah, you need a team mom friend for sure. Someone that, you know, you can ask questions to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very lucky to have that for both my kids. So it's good.
Yeah, for sure. I've not signed up to be the team mom ever because I don't have capacity for that, but I bring snacks and ice and things to support the team mom and the team.
Yeah. So. That's awesome.
Well, friend, thank you so much for this. It's been a pleasure.
I know. I hope we get to see each other's kids do something someday. Send me some videos.
Yeah, I would love
highlights.
It. Yeah, I would love it. We have our first games coming up in a couple weeks, so.
That's exciting. Yeah. It is always exciting. We had our first tournament yesterday.
Oh, fun.
It was fun. So it's here. It's here.
Yeah, fall sports, ready or not. Here we
it's
go.
Here. All right. Thanks, friend.
Thank you. As we end out this episode, I thought of something else I wanted to share that I didn't include in my conversation with Noelle. I very often get the question, how do you do all that you do? And my answer is related to being a sports mom. I use my kids' practice time as the time where I work on things. I most often take my laptop to the nearest Starbucks after I've dropped my kids off at their practice, and I will go and work for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I very often am editing or writing for this podcast during that time, or I work on other writing or other things that I have going on. In the past, I've also used that time to go run some errands. I run to the grocery store or Target or Costco and try to use that time to help me throughout the rest of the week. So I just want to encourage you in that. If you are needing a pocket of time for yourself or to work on some endeavors that you have going on, use your kids' sports time. It is just built-in time. It doesn't have to be wasted time on our calendar. We can use it to be productive in whatever way that we need. Sometimes I don't work on work. Sometimes I send Voxer or Marco Polo messages to friends. I will call a friend. I will take a book with me to read, or sometimes I'll bring a device that I can watch a show on if I feel like that's what I need to do with my time to be productive or to refresh and refuel. When my kids were younger, very often I had the other one in tow when I was taking one to practice. And so you can even use that time as productive time with your other kiddos. So I remember when my daughter was in gymnastics, I would take my son's little preschool workbook and we would work on a worksheet maybe or two, or we would bring books and read together, or I'd bring my magazines. Even now when my daughter has volleyball tournaments, I will bring magazines that I haven't had a chance to read throughout the week, and I will read them in between her different matches that she has going on. I did try to be the parent who went and watched practices. I took my laptop to her volleyball gym and I sat there and I tried to get some work done, but I found a couple of things. Number one, it's extremely noisy in a gym where there are like 20 volleyball courts and many different teams practicing. And two, I didn't get any work done because I was shielding myself and my laptop from volleyballs flying throughout the air. So I just found it didn't really work for me to stay and watch the practices. Instead, again, I go to a coffee shop or a restaurant and I get some work done. And it's life-giving for me. And I pick my daughter up after and we enjoy the ride home together. Or in another season, my son had a team that the coaches asked that parents remain in the vicinity of the park where they were practicing. So I would take my laptop and work in the car, or I would practice my speaking messages then. So you can use the time to fit your needs. If you are a crafter and you knit or crochet or cross stitch, bring that with you so that you can have some time to work on things that are life-giving for you. So even though your kids tie up your time taking them to these practices, you can use that middle time while they're practicing for yourself. So I want to encourage you in that and just share that little tip that I have as it relates to being a sports mom. Hey friend, can I ask you a big favor? Would you take 2 minutes right now to head over to Apple Podcasts to rate and review the podcast for me? All you have to do is search for The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering, scroll down, give it some stars, and write a short review. That's it. While you're there, could you also subscribe to the show? All of this means so much to me, and it will help other moms be able to find the podcast. Also, in a few weeks, I'll be doing a special Q&A episode, and I need your questions. You can find me on Instagram at Andrea Fortenberry and just DM me your questions. It can be about motherhood, faith, friendship, marriage, anything you want to ask me. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I'll catch you next time.